Welcome to Stance for Health podcast with Dr. Rod and Karen Wirth, where becoming healthy is not complicated. Control your health by focusing on six areas of life that we teach you, so you finally have the energy you want, have to do what you want instead of being a victim of your age. I have over 20 years experience working as a chiropractor, and Karen is an author, speaker, and longevity coach. We've seen how a tiny change in your habits today can open up your life to a powerful future. Start today and take your stance for health. Welcome to Stance for Health podcast. I'm Dr. Rodney, seated next to the Hope Lady Karen Sebastian Wirth.
Hi, everyone.
And we are talking about restoration through rest. I think this is like a part two or something like that, isn't it?
Not sure.
But restoration
through rest. We need to talk more about rest, especially when it comes to longevity.
Yes.
We live in a rushed society. We're always late. People have the sense that they are pushing. And we're going to talk a little bit later about what that does internally to the hormones and all of that. But it's not getting us places any faster. It's not helping us. So what can we do about that internal feeling of rush, of push, of it's all up to me?
What a great question. That in many ways, that's the question of the ages, because there's always going to be a part of us that has to pay the bills, that has to go out and get food, or finding food, if down to that base level, and our needs being met, the shelter being met, all those different things.
Just for survival.
For bare minimum survival. Absolutely. And then we do have the compete with the Joneses, or compete with the Facebook accounts, or compete with the Instagram accounts, or compete with
being perfect.
Yes. The images that are put before us on TV and media of any kind, probably more so now on social media than anywhere else. So that creates a sort of a malaise unto itself and wears us down in a way, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. And so one of the things that we've encountered this year, we went on an extended sabbatical, a rest from the labor that we do. And one of the things that Karen and I have done over the years already, we've done it probably five times now, is we want to get this impression from the Lord, or a specific scripture, a specific blessing from our Father in heaven that says, I want you to focus on this year. And so do you remember what it was this year? You were right spot on with it.
In returning and rest, you will be saved.
Isaiah 30:15. Yeah. And there's actually a place in Hosea, evidently, that's like that too, very similar to returning to find that rest. It seems so apropos to talk about.
And digressing just a teeny bit, and it is that when you begin to get proper rest, you will enter the level of sleep where you will have dreams. And so that's had been absent for a while in your life. And then recently, there have been a lot of significant ones.
Yeah.
Memorable ones that you are able to interpret. So tell us this dream, Dr.
It's very simple. Some of you know that I like cycling. I used to be a real avid cyclist. Used to ride it a whole lot more than I do now. This dream had me going from place to place on a bicycle. And I knew that I had to get back somewhere. And when I think of bicycle, I think of singular ministry. I think of recreation and using recreation as a vehicle, or rest, if you will, recreation as a vehicle to get me where I was going in the dream, to a place of rest. Karen and I got in this discussion about, well, where is one of your favorite places to rest? Where do you feel that the most? And she said,
the lake house.
The lake house. We all have a place, whether we can afford to own one or not. Maybe we can get there some way.
Airbnb.
Or
VRBO.
And so that really brings us to what rest might look like. It's a place where you can unplug completely if you want to from social media. There's little, if any, cell phone connection. And you have a view of the lake straight out the window.
And hot tub and a sauna. And just everything that your basic needs are met, plus.
You're within 100 steps of the lake. If you want to jump off the dock into the lake, you can. And so we've even had a chance to see a lot of just beautiful, breathtaking wildlife out there, too. Mm-hmm. You know, anything from fish jumping to flocks of birds that just seemed endless as they went by, and they have that sound that goes along with it. So what we're describing is that place that we encourage you to find your lake house, your place of rest. And how often do you think someone should go to a place like that?
Well, the beauty of places like that is that mentally, you can go there anytime you want. You don't have to actually physically be there to get the benefits to your health of that feeling. And that is something that our minds can take us. We can visualize it. We can picture ourselves being in that place and get the same benefits as if we were actually there. Sometimes better, because we don't have to pack the food and have all the travel to get there. And it's a great thing that our minds can do.
I love that. It's a little bit like what we do from week to week in Shabbat. You look forward to that day, get the benefit of that day, and then you talk about that day after the fact.
Yes. And that's another part of this lifestyle of rest, is that we anticipate and look forward to these getaways. What I'd like to talk about is what is happening to us when we are under chronic stress. Because if we're talking about this level of rest, it's much more than sleep. How that contributes to longevity and not having it, what it's doing for us. And there's an acronym that's kind of funny, because if you're not getting adequate rest, you have GAS. Well, that's the acronym for General Adaptive Syndrome, and is the result of extended chronic stress. Now, remember, stress is what your body puts you into, prepares you for fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. Fight or flight is what we're most familiar with. So there's just all these things that happen in our bodies with this general adaptive syndrome.
So you remember what the primary organ that's involved in here is? Which one actually gets the affected most in the alarm reaction of stress, the early stages of stress?
The amygdala, the adrenals?
They work together. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. And when the thyroid's not working right and the adrenals aren't working right, the liver becomes toxic, because it requires that loop, that particular loop, in order to work properly. And what Karen just so eloquently said is it's a brutal exhaustion that takes place. That's end stage adrenal exhaustion. In a general way, your body begins to adapt to its own hyper use, overuse of the adrenal glands, then the thyroid, and then toxicity to the liver. And at first, in a way, your body can develop a resistance to that. Sometimes you'll notice irritability. Sometimes you'll notice increased weight gain. Sometimes you'll notice inability to sleep intermittently. But then when you get to end stage adrenal exhaustion, it's brutal, because then you can't get to sleep hardly at all. Your body really needs the adrenal glands to get to sleep. What would you prefer? Would you prefer to try to interrupt that before that gets all the way down to exhaustion? Would you prefer to work your way out of the spiral? And yes, that's what we recommend. It's like a spiral staircase. Once you start falling, it's just really hard to stop it. And I just think it's one of the most brutal things. It almost reminds me of some of these other diseases like Parkinson's and things like that. Huntington's,
that really affect the hormone levels. It is so amazing to me, particularly women that are suffering with thyroid issues. And what begins to happen is if you go to the doctor and you say, well, I'm really tired, that they very easily can put you on synthetic thyroid, which then begins to upset the balance even more.
So what I hear you saying is we also, when we go to the doctor, we need to, sometimes they may not ask you if you have if your thyroid panel comes back low or disfigured in some way, out of whack, if you want to call it like that, then you might have gotten used to this and you may just take it for granted that this is the way life is. And we want to encourage you to, for lack of a better word, try to find your lake house again.
Yes.
So that's, if I'm describing anyone like that, it's going to be someone who's most likely downplaying their stress level, saying, oh, that's just stress. Right.
The other thing that's happened to us is that we've all been through a trauma with the shutdown, with the pandemic.
Yeah.
We all suffered trauma.
Haven't we?
Separation from our families, fear of becoming ill. And while people welcomed the opportunity to, oh, I'm going to work from home, it has turned into a double whammy because they cut back on vacation days. They've changed so many things to remain profitable, and people are in this stress level of maintaining their job. Most importantly, though, there's not a clear end to the workday. And I hear people say, oh, I'm going to get to work from home. And then 6 months later, how is that going? And often, because of the fear of setting boundaries, it can be, I'm working all the time and it still is not enough. And so I think that that's also something to really keep in mind when this happens, that we've gone from a clear, not electricity. Basically, you went to sleep when it was dark and you woke up when it was light. Now we've got light all the time. We've got the stimulation of even what we choose to watch on television can be a stress that will affect our sleep.
Oh, that's a great point. Along with the difficulty that stress causes, the pervasive stress, the chronic stress, in addition to what that causes in regard to the hormones of cortisol in particular, those are in a general way catecholamines. Got to manage those if we're going to manage our immune systems too, because when you toxify your body with cortisol, you're toxifying your whole body. Along with that, many people actually start to have hunger issues, or they don't know when they're hungry, or they think they're hungry all the time. They always want to eat and they can't figure out why. They're like, I am more disciplined than this. And yet, there are hormones that are involved in this that are actually thrown off by the stress reaction. Do you want to talk about those things a little bit?
Yes, because I was very confused about them. So I did some research on it. And so when you're not sleeping well, it's going to affect your appetite and your food intake, which then leads to weight gain and insulin resistance, which is pre-diabetes. And a huge percentage of people in our country are on that because of the way that we eat. And the problem with this is that the pounds pack on, particularly around the middle, and that's dangerous. But there's the three hormones that we are not always familiar with. They are leptin, ghrelin, that's G-H-R-E-L-I-N, and insulin we've heard about. Insulin, because of sugar diabetes, we know about that one. But leptin is that you feel full. In other words, if your leptin levels are working, you know when to stop. And ghrelin is the one that says you're hungry. So when those are out of whack, that explains that as you are declining in energy, you're going to start reaching for all the wrong foods. And so if you find yourself in that spiral, you're going to begin to store fat in the wrong places. And would you believe that the solution to that is less about going on a diet as it is about getting good sleep? Because when you get restful sleep, your body can actually put all of those back into order.
So we're really talking about the body's perceptions of threat.
Oh, I like that.
In a very general way, aren't we? Mm-hmm. And I, you know, some people go, well, I don't need to remember leptin and ghrelin. I just hear that if my insulin levels are off, then it's going to affect my weight. Well, those other two are important also. And so I'm glad you did that research. I'm glad we've had a chance to look at those other indicators. Fats in your diet, you're taking in good fats. You're not going to crave this as much. It's actually going to flip the switch on leptin, and it's going to start to turn the switch off of ghrelin. You're going to get less and less ghrelin. And in other words, the grr is not going to happen in your stomach as much.
That's good, yeah.
Right? Your stomach's not going to be growling at you with ghrelin.
Good memory aid. Yeah, that's amazing. And when you stop eating the sugary bad starch too and loaded with the MSG, it's all such a vicious cycle.
Isn't it? It's brutal.
And that seems so normal, but it's common, not normal. And I want you to begin to think about that this problem with true rest, which manifests in not being able to sleep, can be corrected.
So correcting, let's say, a hormone that's produced all day, your body is producing, it's making something that all of our cells actually make melatonin. Only 5% of it is actually made by the pineal gland, but it's that little 5% that squirts into the cerebrospinal fluid at just the right time to help you edge yourself into that deep sleep that we all want and helps to keep you asleep. We're not just finding that melatonin helps in your sleep. It helps it prevent cancer. It helps prevent all kinds of immune disorders. Melatonin is a champion. And there's even evidence that mitochondrial melatonin that's where it's really produced. We know more about melatonin than we have. It's almost like finding a whole nother system, but do you care to mention anything about that particular hormone?
The one that I do want to caution you with melatonin, because if you hear only this part of it and you're not thinking about balancing, you could go out and start taking massive amounts of melatonin, and that is not the best solution. More importantly is to begin to have a good sleep pattern. So the things that you can do, and we will put the links in the show notes to get into the sleep and let your body produce it, and taking the melatonin capsules or pills more when you've done international travel to help reset your body.
Some of this that we're talking about here is a vicious cycle too. If you're not taking care of your body with regard to certain fats, you're not taking care of your body with regard to stress, we're going to have energy problems in our mitochondria. And we've talked about in the past, if you remember, some of these things we review quickly is that you have to challenge your body a little bit more for your mitochondria to actually act the way that they need to and increase in number in certain cell groups, including your muscles. But it's not just excluded to your muscles. What we end up doing is a lot of our mitochondria start to become almost zombie-like because we've fit our comfort levels into such a narrow range that mitochondria almost, we say, well, we don't use it, we lose it type mentality of our cells and our body.
Are we talking about movement?
Movement in general, I think that will actually, don't you think that will actually produce growth hormone too, will stimulate growth hormone in your body as you move. Mm-hmm. So moving doesn't necessarily have to be excessive exercise. In other words, over the top redlining exercise.
Right.
In fact, what we've seen in the research seems to indicate that high intensity, 2 hours a week total, is really preferred, if not one of the best ways to get action out of these cells and hormones that we're talking about to actually drive sleep in the right direction. Then
I love that.
Yeah.
And so we want you to take this information and begin to make some changes that are going to help you, because when you are missing rest, which then results in actual missing sleep.
Oh, yeah. Let's go ahead and review all the different things.
You're going to, like you've said, your immune system is going to be deficient, where you're going to get more frequent infections and increase in illnesses. Your body can't fight it off.
Remember, rest is not the same as sleep.
But rest leads to deep sleep.
Yes.
Restorative sleep.
Yes. And rest is a perspective.
So we're talking about things that can happen, like we talked about lowered immune system when you don't get enough sleep. What are some other things, Dr. Rodney?
More frequent infections, you know, obviously is a consequence of lowered immunity. But we don't oftentimes realize that there are some threshold infections in our body. Some people say, well, I have frequent headaches. I have issues with sinus infections. Well, how long does someone have a sinus infection that's visible at times on x-ray that's leading to headaches?
Gotcha.
That congestion can be chronic, can be going on for several months, and people don't even know it. So that kind of reduced immunity can lead to those kinds of things too that I've seen over the years. And an increase in general illness, typically what we're talking about here is all-cause mortality.
Ooh, that's good.
Right? So an illness of what kind? Mm-hmm. Is it mental illness? Is it cardiovascular illness?
Yes.
How many people wake up with heart attacks on Monday morning related to this?
Yes, to right? those hormones and to that stress.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So the rest of them just kind of look something like what it has to do with diet or has to do with weight gain. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you look at spikes in appetite, ghrelin. If the ghrelin is signaled and leptin isn't signaled, you've got an appetite that's unstoppable. Even though you've eaten, it's hard to feel satisfied.
Yeah.
And this feeds that, no pun intended. So higher calorie consumption, then would that be a consequence of that?
And a lot of times also just empty calories that people are grabbing because they don't feel the energy, where sleep could make up that difference.
That's right. Oftentimes you hear in relationship to weight gain or weight loss, and I'm not sure how often we actually hear about weight gain in conjunction with toxic brain fog or toxic brain. Because I think those things go hand in hand. Because if you're not getting a good brain wash from the lymphatic system, these things could be a consequence too.
Right.
Brain fog.
So we're talking today and finalizing this podcast, talking about finding restful, restorative sleep.
That's right. And doesn't it just really sound like we've really been talking about this dance of so many things?
Yes, absolutely.
And so it's been a pleasure to speak with the Hope Lady.
And the pleasure is mine speaking with Dr. Rodney. And we want to encourage you to take your stance
for health. Thank you for joining us at Stance for Health podcast, where getting healthy and staying that way are not as complicated as you might think. Subscribe now and discover steps and small changes that can increase your energy and open the door to vibrant health and longevity. If this podcast has been helpful, please write a review. We'll see you next time.